as we make our way through the book of Exodus. But everything here, as sometimes difficult as it is to understand, has meaning to it. Even though we might not understand it, it has meaning. As we've seen, God told Moses in regard to the tabernacle and all the furnishings of the tabernacle and everything connected to the worship in the tabernacle, he said, be sure you make everything exactly like I showed you on the mountain. The book of Hebrews tells us the reason God was so meticulous with Moses is because everything about this tabernacle is a copy and a shadow of the true tabernacle in heaven. A tabernacle not built by human hands. Now there is a priesthood that serves in relationship to the worship of this tabernacle. We learned last week, we are a priesthood. But you know, it's sometimes difficult to think of yourself as a priest, because one of the challenges, if you think about yourself as a priest in our day, is, well, you maybe can't get rid of that thought of being a Catholic priest or being some other type of priest. And I'm not trying to knock any other priest. Before we look into it, 1 Peter chapter 2, since we were in such a hurry last week, take a look now that you have Exodus 29, all the way over New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. As you come to Him, the living stone, Jesus, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 9 of 1 Peter 2. But you, believers in Jesus Christ, Christians, are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. You're a priesthood, a holy nation. Revelation chapter 1, all the way to the last book in the New Testament. And verse 5. The middle of verse 5, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve His God and Father. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. And then one last one. All the way to the end of Revelation, almost to the very end, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. We are priests. We will be priests. You say, well, you're not really dressed much like a priest tonight. Well, maybe that's your opinion. What is a New Testament priest? Well, you have to get the tape of last week. But the similarities, spiritually speaking, between the priestly garments of chapter 28 and the priestly ministry that you and I are both called to. The high priest, as we saw last week, and all these garments, and carrying on his shoulders the names of the children of Israel. And then on his ephod, the breastpiece, and the 12 names of the children of Israel. And then the sacred diadem that goes on the front of his turban, holy to the Lord. Priests represent man to God and God to man. The overall purpose of a priest is to serve people in such a way that they hear about and have the opportunity to know about God. The privilege of a priest to worship the Lord, to have relationship, to be able to come close and have communion. The tabernacle, the holy place, and now the veil being rent between the holy place and the most holy place. And Hebrews tells us we have access by faith into the very throne of God. We are a privileged people. We're priests by faith in Jesus Christ. But now every one of us have that heavenly calling. But before priestly ministry can actually be exercised the way it should be, chapter 29, there must be a consecration. Chapter 28, all the priestly garments laid out, and now they're ready to be placed upon the priests. But before this takes place, chapter 29 is vital. Chapter 29, verse 1. This is what you're to do to consecrate them so that they may serve me as priests. Take a young bull and two rams without defect. And from fine wheat flour without yeast, make bread and cakes mixed with oil and wafers spread with oil. Anointed food. Put them in a basket. Present them in it, along with the bull and the two rams. Then bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance to the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Interesting, the place now for this baptism. That's what it is. In this Old Testament economy, there were many baptisms. And this is a very important baptism. It's a baptism to consecrate priest unto God. It takes place right at the entrance to the tent of meeting, and that is, of course, symbolic. As we started this whole study of the tabernacle, we noted that what God is doing here is painting big pictures. Pictures that if you look carefully enough and long enough, they become very clear. And this baptism here, this washing, right at the entrance to the tent of meeting, before they will go in and actually wear their priestly garments and begin their priestly ministry, they must first be washed. That's a part of their consecration, a part of them being set apart from the ministry God called them to. And so they're washed with water. Verse 5, take the garments and dresses, or dress Aaron with the tunic, the robe of the ephod, and ephod itself, and the breastpiece. Fasten the ephod on him by its skillfully woven waistband. Put the turban on his head and attach the sacred diadem to the turban. Take the anointing oil. Anoint him by pouring it on his head. Bring his sons and dress them in tunics and put headbands on them. And then tie sashes on Aaron and his sons. The priesthood is theirs by a lasting ordinance. In this way you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. First the washing, then the priestly dress. One little verse you might want to just write down, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, that the Lord tells us there, it's God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So we're anointed. The washing, of course, speaks of water baptism. A baptism that now identifies us with our great high priest represented in Aaron. Our high priest, of course, is Jesus Christ. And as His sons, just like Aaron's sons, we serve as priests. He's our great high priest. And baptism, water baptism, that mark of identification with our high priest in His priestly ministry. So there's the washing, and then there's adorning with all the priestly garments by faith. Then verse 10, bring the bull to the front of the tent of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on its head. Slaughter it in the Lord's presence at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Take some of the bull's blood and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger, and pour out the rest of it at the base of the altar. The hands laid on the sacrifice is to identify the priest with the sacrifice. And the blood on the altar and at the base of the altar is to cleanse the altar for priestly service. The book of Hebrews tells us that almost everything here had to be cleansed by blood. In other words, without the sacrifice and without the blood cleansing, you wouldn't be allowed to minister as a priest. It must be the sacrifice that God prescribes. It must be acceptable. And not only the altar anointed by the blood, but the hands laid on the bull. What does that signify? That's identification with the sacrifice. It's like saying this animal is going to give its best in your place. So that you might minister as a priest, this sacrifice is being offered. Verse 13, then take all the fat around the inner parts, the covering of the liver, both kidneys with the fat on them, and burn them on the altar. That was considered the inner parts, of course, the best, the inner parts. But burn the bull's flesh and its hide and its offal outside the camp. I don't think I have to explain to you what the offal is. It's a sin offering. So you take the inner parts offered on the altar, and then you take the flesh and the excrement and the hide, and you take that outside the camp. And the flesh is burned outside the camp. And what a picture there. Hebrews tells us very clearly, write it down, chapter 13, verse 12, and so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. This sacrifice, as all of them speak of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, it's a sin offering. But then there's another offering. Verse 15. Take one of the rams, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on its head. Identification now with his second offering. Slaughter it and take the blood and sprinkle it against the altar on all sides. Cut the ram into pieces and wash the inner parts and the legs, putting them with the head and the other pieces. Then burn the entire ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord, a pleasing aroma, an offering made to the Lord by fire. Distinct from, and yet important, this second offering, the burnt offering. The burnt offering was consumed whole on the altar. You did not take any of it off and eat it or serve it to anybody else to eat. It was a consumed, totally consumed offering. The burnt offering. We're in, of course, on the weekend, the book of Romans. And just having finished the first part of Romans chapter 12, when Paul says there, therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. The picture there is that of the burnt offering. It's a whole offering to be consumed. Give Him your whole self, your whole life. But here, this offering speaks especially again of our great high priest, Jesus Christ. And the identification with this offering, it's a total offering of the whole sacrifice, the whole animal as it is being offered to God. Verse 19, take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their heads on its head. So now a third offering, an identification with this offering. Slaughter it, take some of its blood, and put it on the lobes of the right ears of Aaron and his sons, on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. Then sprinkle blood against the altar on all sides. And take some of the blood on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments and on his sons and their garments. Then he and his sons and their garments will be consecrated. This third offering is a very interesting one. Blood to the right ear of the ones called to be priest. Blood to the right hand thumb and blood to the right big toe. Now, I know you guys that are left-handed are a little disappointed. But don't be. The point and the picture, the right is the sign biblically of strength. When God mentions in the Bible about Him and His right hand, He's talking about His hand of strength. It doesn't mean that His left hand is weaker than His right hand. God's left hand is just as strong as His right hand. It's a picture. But now the blood of this sacrifice. This ram sacrifice is especially in relationship to the consecration of the priests. This whole ceremony has to do with the consecration of the priests. There's the call. There's the preparation of the priestly garments. But before you enter into the priestly service, there's consecration. Vital. Necessary. Consecration. And if it's overlooked, your priestly ministry will never be what God intends it to be. And this third sacrifice that especially has to do with the consecration, the blood on the right ear. Well, of course, it obviously speaks of hearing and hearing God. And hearing the Word of God. Jesus so often before He would speak, He would say, "He who has ears to hear." Now, everybody there, unless they were deaf, heard physically. But this is, of course, speaking of more than just hearing physically. Everyone here tonight, I think, they hear physically as we go through this. You hear with your physical ear. But there's a spiritual application to it. Hearing with your ear, spiritually. The right-hand thumb. What you're going to do with your hands now, in your priestly ministry, with the strength of your hands, you've been called to a priestly ministry. And then, the big toe on the right foot. Without the big toe on either foot, your walk would be lame. And so it's hearing God. It's using your hands for God. It's walking in holiness because you've been called to a priestly ministry. Verse 22, take from this ram the fat tail, the fat around the inner parts, the covering of the liver, both kidneys with the fat on them, and the right thigh. This is the ram for the ordination. From the basket of bread made without yeast, which is before the Lord, take a loaf and a cake made with oil and a wafer. Put all these in the hands of Aaron and his sons, and wave them before the Lord as a wave offering. A wave offering. That's an interesting one. Most of the time we think of them waving it like this, but the truth is they waved it like this. Between the altar and the priest, signifying it's a gift to God. But more than just a gift to God, it's a gift from God. It's the idea, like we talked about this past weekend in Romans chapter 12, that the gifts that we have are given by God, and now we use them in service for God. You see, the gifts here for waving before the Lord, they come through and from the sacrifice. The sacrifice is that which provides the means now to give in the name of the Lord. And so it's waved. It's waved between altar and priest. It's from God and now it's signified as being given back to God. Because that's where it came from. And so the wave offering. Then, verse 25, take them from their hands and burn them on the altar along with the burnt offering for a pleasing aroma to the Lord, an offering made to the Lord by fire. So you wave it, and then you give it, and it goes on the altar. After you take the breast of the ram for Aaron's ordination, wave it before the Lord as a wave offering, and it'll be your share. Consecrate those parts of the ordination ram that belong to Aaron and his sons, the breast that was waved, and the thigh that was presented. This is always to be the regular share from the Israelites for Aaron and his sons. It is the contribution the Israelites are to make to the Lord from their fellowship offerings. Don't want to take it too far, but it's interesting the parts that are assigned now for the priest, for the, if you will, communion meal, the fellowship offerings. There's been the washing, there's the sacrifices made, and now, because of the washing and the sacrifice that's been acceptable and the gifts offered unto the Lord, now it's time to sit down and eat. Now it's time for communion. And the parts assigned to the priest, the breast. In the scriptures themselves, the breast speak of affection. Even at the Passover meal, before Jesus went to the cross, John leaned upon Jesus' breast. And John is known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Speaks of affection, of love. And of course, the thigh speaks of strength. And those are the pieces assigned for the priest. The breast and the thigh. Verse 29, Aaron's sacred garments will belong to his descendants so that they can be anointed and ordained in them. The son who succeeds him as priest and comes to the tent of meeting to minister in the holy place is to wear them 7 days. So the descendants of Aaron were to carry on this priestly ministry. Now, if a priest is not supposed to get married, make it kind of tough for him to have descendants, but we won't go there right now. Verse 31. Take the ram for the ordination, cook the meat in a sacred place at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Aaron and his sons are to eat the meat of the ram and the bread that is in the basket. They are to eat these offerings by which atonement was made for their ordination and consecration. But no one else may eat them because they're sacred. And if any of the meat of the ordination ram or any bread is left over till morning, burn it up. It must not be eaten because it's sacred. It's a sacred meal. It's only for the priest. Nobody else allowed to eat it. One of the tremendous privileges we have as priests. This is exactly what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 6, and most of them didn't catch it. Because if you remember, it's in John chapter 6 where he began to teach them some, for them, very deep things. John chapter 6, here's what he said, verse 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. He went on to say, verse 57 there, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. Remember, the manna in the Old Testament, speaking of Jesus Christ, the true bread from heaven, and these sacrifices, which as you sit down and partake of now, the communion meal, speak of the communion with Jesus Christ. That manna in the Old Testament, what was one of the rules laid down when you got the manna, that supernatural bread from heaven, that unless it were Friday in preparation for the Sabbath when you couldn't work, Friday God would give you twice as much as you need for the day so you'd have enough for the next day. But if on any other day you went out and tried to get twice as much as what you needed, what would happen? It would rot. What's the message in it? Give us this day our daily bread. It's not enough just to get bread from the Lord today. I need fresh bread tomorrow. I need a fresh word tomorrow. I need a fresh word every day. Give us this day our daily bread. It's sacred food. What a privilege we have. Isn't it a shame that this book lies in so many places in people's homes and gathers dust? It's real food. It's real flesh. It's an opportunity to commune. It's an opportunity to feast as the priests that we're privileged to be. And what a privilege it is. Sacred meal. Verse 35, do for Aaron and his sons everything I've commanded you, taking 7 days to ordain them. Sacrifice a bull each day as a sin offering to make atonement. Purify the altar by making atonement for it and anoint it to consecrate it. For 7 days, make atonement for the altar and consecrate it. And then the altar will be most holy. And whatever touches it will be holy. This is what you'd offer on the altar regularly each day. So now, we've had the ordination service, and now they're ready for their priestly ministry. And one of the things they're given that they are going to do daily. This is a daily assignment. This is what you're to offer on the altar regularly each day. 2 lambs, a year old. What an interesting offering. Offer one in the morning and the other at twilight. With the first lamb, offer a tenth of an ephah of fine flour mixed with 1/4 of a hin of oil from pressed olives and 1/4 of a hin of wine as a drink offering. Sacrifice the other lamb at twilight with the same grain offering and its drink offering as in the morning, a pleasing aroma, an offering made to the Lord by fire. If you've been around for a while, you know I've said often how important it is to develop a daily devotional life. A time where you get along with God personally, privately, and make reading and meditating on the Word of God a part of that devotional time. Set aside a time of prayer, even though we have the privilege of praying without ceasing throughout the day. There still needs to be time set apart, privately, personally. But now for those of us who have developed a devotional life, and you've taken the advice of the Scriptures so many places, it talks about the morning being the time to really begin the day with God. You really ought to begin the day with God instead of trying to go through the day without having begun with God and then try to get Him to catch up with you at the end. But now for those of us who have developed that morning time, the challenge here is to add to it. Every morning, they'd offer a lamb. We don't have to speculate. We don't have to guess on who the lamb speaks of. It's a reminder every morning of the sacrifice that makes it all possible. Our priestly privileges. Our priestly service. Everything that we are and everything that we have. And every morning, I need to be reminded. But then, you go throughout your priestly ministry through the day. In serving. In ministering. In sharing. In doing good. And then I need to be reminded, as I'm exhausted at the end of the day, morning and evening sacrifices. Maybe you want to make a point. Maybe you want to be challenged to go beyond just the morning time. Begin the day with God, and then make sure you end the day with God. What a great thing to be able to do. Daily required sacrifices. A lamb in the morning, a lamb in the evening. Verse 42, for the generations to come, this burnt offering is to be made regularly at the entrance to the tent of meeting before the Lord. There I will meet with you and speak to you. There also I will meet with the Israelites, and the place will be consecrated by my glory. So I'll consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar, and will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. And then I'll dwell among the Israelites and be their God. And they will know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of Egypt so that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. And those last few verses tell us the whole purpose, in summary, of priestly ministry. The purpose of priestly ministry is so that people might have an opportunity to know and to commune with the living God. That's our privilege. We know Him if we're truly priests. We have communion with Him. But now, because of these priests' ministry, don't forget, God's intention was that the whole nation be a kingdom of priests. But because of their hard-heartedness and hard-headedness, they weren't all allowed to have this priestly ministry. And yet these that are sovereignly called aside, set apart for this ministry, through their ministry, the other Israelites had the opportunity to come close to God, to hear from God, to see His glory. And that's the ultimate purpose for our ministry. Everything we do, everything I hear from God, is for the purpose of not only my own soul and my own spiritual life, but it's to be able to communicate to others. As God has spoken to me, He wants me to share with the world. The anointing of my hands, everything I do, as a priestly ministry. Listen, women of heart, what you're doing, as you're going around and doing good within the body and meeting these practical needs, you're serving priestly ministry. Hey, you guys involved with the men of arms that are going around and hammering and doing all these repairs in people's houses and doing good in the name of the Lord, you're serving a priestly function. Everywhere we walk, the priests were responsible for carrying, among other things, the ark. And everywhere they moved as a people, the priests had the privilege of carrying the ark, representing the power of God and the mercy of God. And everywhere we go, we have the privilege of taking the power of God and the mercy of God. Everything about us is to be priestly in purpose. One last thing I want to look at. Sandwiched between the morning lamb sacrifice and the evening lamb sacrifice was obviously the daily duties, the daily ministry opportunities. In Leviticus chapter 8, if you turn there, and we'll close our time in Leviticus chapter 8. Leviticus chapter 8 records the actual consecration. What we just read were the instructions for the consecration. Leviticus chapter 8 records the actual consecration service. Now, we're not going to take time. I don't want to scare you in reading through this whole chapter. But chapter 8, you might have on a heading, as I do in my Bible, the ordination of Aaron and his sons. But now look at chapter 9. as they begin their ministry. On the eighth day, Moses summoned Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. He said to Aaron, take a bull calf for your sin offering and a ram for your burnt offering, both without defect, and present them before the Lord. Then say to the Israelites, take a male goat for a sin offering, a calf and a lamb, both a year old and without defect, for a burnt offering. And an ox and a ram for a fellowship offering to sacrifice before the Lord, together with a grain offering mixed with oil. For today, the Lord will appear. Today the Lord will appear to you. They took the things Moses commanded to the front of the tent of meeting, and the entire assembly came near and stood before the Lord. Then Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded you to do, so that the glory of the Lord may appear to you. Moses said to Aaron, come to the altar and sacrifice your sin offering and your burnt offering and make atonement for yourself and the people. Sacrifice the offering that's for the people and make atonement for them as the Lord has commanded. So Aaron came to the altar, slaughtered the calf as a sin offering for himself. His sons brought the blood to him, and he dipped his finger into the blood, and he put it on the horns of the altar. The rest of the blood he poured out at the base of the altar. On the altar he burned the fat, the kidneys, and the covering of the liver from the sin offering as the Lord commanded Moses. The flesh and the hide he burned outside the camp. So obviously all the things we just read about, here it's happening. And then he slaughtered the burnt offering. His sons handed him the blood. He sprinkled it against the altar on all sides. They handed him the burnt offering piece by piece, including the head, and he burned them on the altar. He washed the inner parts and the legs and burned them on top of the burnt offering on the altar. Aaron then brought the offering that was for the people. He took the goat for the people's sin offering, and he slaughtered it and offered it for a sin offering as he did with the first one. He brought the burnt offering, offered it in the prescribed way. He also brought the grain offering, took a handful of it, burned it on the altar in addition to the morning's burnt offering. Hang with me. He slaughtered the ox and the ram as the fellowship offering for the people. His sons handed him the blood, and he sprinkled it against the altar on all sides. But the fat portions, the fat tail, the layer of fat, the kidneys, the covering of the liver, these they laid on the breast, and then Aaron burned the fat on the altar. Aaron waved the breast and the right thigh before the Lord as a wave offering, as Moses commanded. And then Aaron lifted his hands toward the people and blessed them. And having sacrificed the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the fellowship offering, he stepped down. Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting. And when they came out, they blessed the people. Notice, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy. And they fell face down. They shouted for joy because God had accepted the sacrifice and God had revealed His glory. They shouted in joy and they fell face down in worship. You say, that was great. That's a great ending. Well, that's really where I wanted to end it. I wanted to end it right there. What an up note. But if we didn't have the chapter headings and the verse divisions in here, you know, man put them here. Look at what it reads in chapter 10. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense, and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to His command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. What was that? What happened? How in the world could you have such a glorious consecration ceremony? And the Lord reveals Himself and He comes down in the midst of the people in glory. They all shout for joy and they fall down in worship. And then the next thing we read is that two of the most privileged people among the priests, Aaron's sons, two of his four sons, Nadab and Abihu, did such a foolish thing of offering something that was unauthorized? They were there with Dad. When the sacrifices were being made, they were there. They handled the blood. And they served Him through the whole ceremony. And then they went out and did such a foolish thing. My ears. I need to do more than just be around other people that are doing priestly ministry. And I certainly need to do more than just ceremony. If it ever becomes just ritual, if I'm not, because of my call and my consecration, hearing from God personally, I'm in danger. My hands and the call and the consecration of my hands. If I'm not careful and I begin to become foolish in the offerings of my hands, I need to be careful. And my feet and where they walk. There's a proverb that says, take only ways that are firm. It's quoted again in the book of Hebrews. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. We've been given tremendous privilege. We're priests and we're called to a priestly ministry. Tremendous sacrifice has been made for us to be able to enter the very presence of God and to serve Him. And by serving Him, we also serve people. And what we hear from God, we need to be sharing. And what we do with our hands, we need to be doing in the name of the Lord and for the purpose of our priestly ministry. And the path that we walk, we need to look for and take only those paths that are firm because we're priests. What a tremendous privilege to be called priests and to have such a priestly ministry. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. The opportunity every day. And now for some of us to begin not only just in the morning, begin your day with God. And then as you go throughout the day, because you've begun your day with God, think about what you're doing. And as you're doing things and going places, and you're a priest. And the purpose of your ministry is so that others might have an opportunity to come to know and commune with the God that you serve. And then as you end your priestly ministry for the day and are so many times dog tired, end the day with the Lord and be reminded that this day, even those seemingly menial tasks, you will not know sometimes till eternity the fruit that those simple acts of faith will bear. Father, we're privileged to be Your priests. What a high calling. Lord, as we look at this consecration service here in Exodus and Leviticus, we realize it was 7 days. It wasn't some quick thing. It wasn't some thing taken lightly or done lightly. And so we realize, Lord, what a high calling we have. We thank You for the privilege of Your calling in our lives. We thank You for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that makes our ministry possible. And Lord, we thank You by faith for the fruit that our priestly ministry bears. Lord, thank You that where we walk and the way we walk is important. Thank You that what our hands touch and how we use our hands is important. And as we hear from You, sharing with others is so vital. So Lord, guide our steps. Guide us not only as we leave here tonight, guide us tomorrow in our work. Power us, fill us, and use us as Your priests. In Jesus' name, amen.